This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, few minutes past 6 p.m.
We still haven't talked about Arnold Schwarzenegger being attacked.
Did we not?
Attacked.
We talked about it off the air yesterday.
Off the air, but we never talked about it on the air. He's in South Africa doing some event, taking a video of someone, and a kid runs up behind him, drop kicks him, and like an idiot starts yelling, "I need a Lamborghini." I guess he's just trying to troll him and be stupid and become a viral sensation.
It worked.
It worked. Arnold did not seem affected at all. The front-facing video, he looks like he might be hurt, but there's another angle where you see it happen from behind, and he barely flinches. I mean, he's in great shape. I don't know. It just really bothers me, though. I obviously watched the video from two angles, but if I were... I mean, he was assaulted. That's assault. And if I were assaulted like that, I wouldn't necessarily... want it on video, maybe for the sake of showing it to the police and being like, here's exactly what happened. But then to have it circulated over the internet, I don't know. It just feels gross.
Yeah.
And I say that I watch it. So I acknowledge that I watched it. I didn't immediately go, I don't want to see that. I still watched it, but it's just strange to me.
We talk about it a lot, how social media has changed everything. I don't like it. Like when Tony La Russa, who I can't stand, was caught drunk driving and they have the video of him asleep at the wheel, I shouldn't be able to see that.
Yeah.
I don't like it when they release 911 calls. I don't want to hear someone calling to say that their wife's been killed when they did it. That's none of my business.
That's really interesting that you bring that up, because I was listening to my favorite podcast, Harmontown, and they just did a special with these girls from a podcast called, I think it's called Red Handed or something true crime. And Deanne was saying that it really bothers him to think that one day he'll be in a situation where he has to call 911, because basically no matter how you sound on that 911 call, it's all up to the ear of the beholder.
I've thought it through.
Yeah, so it's like, if I sound too upset, then people think that I'm faking it. If I don't sound upset at all, then I must be a psychopath.
Yep.
And I probably murdered my wife. It is really intimidating to think, no matter what I do, I'm going to be picked apart by people who don't know what they're talking about. They're just going to bring their previous bias into it and say, well, this is why he's guilty. He doesn't sound sad at all. He sounds way too sad.
And I really wondered, from a cop detective standpoint, because they do this all the time, you know, the classic, you know, knock on the door and, hello, are you Mr. John Smith? Yes. Is your wife Melody? Yes. I have bad news for you. There's been a car accident, or we found her dead in a ditch, whatever. Like, in the olden days, you would just react. But now, I think, just admittedly, one of my first thoughts would be like, how am I going to react? Like,
because you're on cop body cam?
Well, just like,
because you know they're going to be watching.
I've seen it so many times.
And they're going to be watching you so closely.
Yeah.
Especially if it's your wife or someone close to you like that, you're going to be the prime suspect.
Yep.
You know that because you know true crime.
And you usually did it.
Yeah, usually. So you know you're going to be picked apart no matter what.
Yeah.
Do we know why they release those calls or those videos? Like, what's the purpose of 911 saying, this is all public info?
I think it's just, I don't know why it's public. But I think it's just salacious entertainment.
Yeah.
There's no other reason. There's no other reason. We all know what drunk driving is. There's no reason to release Tony La Russa asleep at the wheel in Florida than to embarrass him and to entertain us.
Or like Robert Kraft's situation right now. There is no reason to release that tape other than to humiliate him.
And there's no reason,
the reason
to ever release any 911 tape. Because if someone killed someone, if there's a crime, then play it for the jury and put them in jail, and that's it.
The fact that there is no reason that anybody can come up with makes me think there has to be a reason.
Right.
Otherwise,
I'm going to Google it.
There you go. I know one thing's for sure. If you've ever seen Conan the Barbarian, there's no way as somebody running up and kicking Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to take him down.
You know what, though? He's Arnold, and he does look great for 74, 75, but he's a 75-year-old man. What sort of piece of crap drop kicks any 75-year-old man?
Yeah, I'm thinking about my neighbor who's a little older than that, and I'm like, yeah, I think somebody kicking that guy would make me mad and take him down.
Yeah.
So 911 calls are usually fair game for any Freedom of Information Act
request.
That's
bullcrap. I'm a big fan of the Freedom of Information Act, but there needs to be more restrictions because that is private.
They're considered public records. Police will often go in and redact personal information, but everything else is up for grabs.
But there's no Simply reason disagree. For that. There's no reason for that to be public information.
I think you have to make a request for it. And unless they can give you a good reason to not give it to you, it's covered under the Freedom of Information.
Yep. Simply disagree.
Me too.
Yeah. Shouldn't be.
I mean, I do too. It just comes down to, yeah, I shouldn't see this. I shouldn't know this. But we do.
Unless it involves politics somehow or something that involves us rather than just in terms of voyeurism, then okay, fine.
Yeah.
But if it's just your neighbor.
It's really hard to police, though, because, I don't know, if they keep all of that stuff locked down and then we do need to see something, then you have to jump through even more hoops to get it. So it's kind of like the voyeurism is a side effect of transparency.
What do you think you would do, hypothetically? Your spouse turns up dead. They're looking at you. We've all seen it a million times on a show, and they're sweating you, and you didn't do it. You had nothing to do with it. Do you think he would say, look anywhere you want, ask me anything you want, I'm an open book, or, Rach, I know you're a big true crime person, have you seen too many shows where you'd be like, even though I didn't do it, I'm not telling him anything?
Yeah, I'm not telling you anything, because you could go plant something in my house. If it's easier for you to just pin it on me, I don't necessarily trust you. There's so many cases of someone ends up in prison because a well-intentioned detective just gets it in their head that something happened a certain way, and then they're able to find evidence to support their theory, even though the theory isn't even true. You will find a way to make it work. It's kind of like when people say, don't go looking for something if you don't want to find it. You're going to find something. I mean,
I do the opposite. I do the opposite.
And
I would do it strategically, because I'd be saying, look, read my body language. I have nothing to hide. I want you, the person who's investigating me, to know that I'm innocent, and I want everybody with you to know it. So go for it.
Okay.
No, but that's strategy.
I guess I'm too much of a... there's a part of me that's like,
right.
I'm just going to stick it to you.
I think you're right. I've always said what Ryan did, that if someone accused me of something I didn't do, I would be like, look anywhere you want. You're not going to find it. But I said that to Chet Pleben once, and he goes, nope.
Really?
As your personal attorney, if you're accused of something you didn't do, you call me and shut up.
If I were a suspect of anything, I would not, even if I were 100% innocent and I thought I had like security footage to back it up, I would not talk to people without a lawyer
you
present.
Just don't trust Whitey.
It's not that. I've just seen too many cases of, man, it'll just be easier to get a confession out of this person right now. And I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself to stand up to pressure where it's like, yeah, but you wanted to. I mean, they can really sweat you and really put the pressure on, especially someone like me who doesn't sleep. I'd go crazy after an hour. You know what I mean? I don't want to be interrogated. I feel like I have a guilty conscience about things I don't even do. So I would never put myself in that situation. There's a reason why you're allowed to have a lawyer with you to protect you. So why not take every step to be protected?
Isn't it strange, the idea of a guilty conscience? Feeling guilty about things that you clearly did not do. They show up at your house. Hey, this crime just happened outside. You have nothing to do with it. But suddenly, what you just said is that you would start to feel guilty for that crime.
Yeah. I mean, I think it has to do with just being nervous and just being like, man, they're saying something to me in the first place. Maybe I did have something to do with this. It's low self-esteem, shame, whatever you want to call it. I could see myself in that situation. I don't judge people who give a false confession because I'm like, I could see that happening to me.
I could
see in a moment of weakness me being like, yeah, I mean, I guess.
I was riding dirty for like a year way back when I couldn't afford to get new plates because I was just such a floater. And I was so on high alert, looking for cops. And I saw a cop come behind me. This is during the winter. This would have been, I don't know, mid-90s. And I didn't like run from him, but I also didn't stop. I'm like taking left turns, right turns. So he finally catches up to me in like a bank parking lot and makes me get out of the car. And I didn't have a coat on. And so I was shivering. And he's like, you know why I pulled you over? And I said, yeah, my plates are expired. He's like, why are you so nervous? And I said, well, my plates are expired. And he's like, were you running from me? And I was like, I wasn't running from you, but I didn't want you to get me either. And he's like, what's going on? You're a lot better off telling me the truth right now. And what Rach said, I had nothing to hide other than my plates were expired and he knows it and I'm going to get a $50 ticket. But I started to get really nervous. Mm-hmm. Like I had nothing. I didn't have a hooker in my trunk or something, but just him getting all intimidating and like, why don't you just come clean right now?
Yeah, maybe I am doing something.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Well, they probably had profiled you and said people who have expired plates that are so far expired probably haven't because they have something else that they're trying to hide. And he was just going to keep grilling you until you were ready to spill your guts.
Could be.
Yeah.
And which, for everyone of me that doesn't have something to hide, there's someone who's like, fine.
And and you know what? They have the right to do that, I suppose. I'm not sitting here saying, like, they shouldn't do that. But I also have the right to be super nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, to put the onus on the person who's being detained to just stay calm no matter what, I'm probably going to be pretty
upset.
I'm a
very big fan of cops, and I'm a very big fan of doing what they say. But if that happened to me today, being a much more mature person, and he was getting ugly with me, I would say, I need you to call your commanding officer. I need you to either arrest me or let me go. Just give me a ticket for the expired plates because what you're doing right now is inappropriate. I wouldn't get stupid with them or ugly or confrontational, but I also wouldn't let them continue to do that.
Do you, because of life experience, know kind of, and because of being an attorney, do you know kind of all the rules of what they can and can't do? Because
no.
I have no idea.
I probably know as much as you guys do from television.
I went to a party once in high school and my buddy, it was a junior ranger, so he knew all the rules. And the cops showed up then to bust the party. And
you don't have to let him inside.
He and I were the only ones who hadn't drank anything because we had just gotten there. And so he walks around telling everybody, okay, here's the rules. And I was like, wow, so impressed because he knew how to do everything. You're right. It was don't let anybody inside. Close all the windows.
Don't let anybody leave because if they leave, then that gives an excuse to come inside.
Yeah. And there were some other ones too that I don't remember. But it was so strange because everybody there was so nervous. They were all underage, of course, but we were fine. Mm-hmm. We walk out. And they gave us the whole nine yards, and we did everything. We were completely clean. Mm-hmm. We left. They ran him and found out he was a junior ranger and figured out, oh, he had told everybody in there.
Funny.
They put the equivalent of an all-points bulletin on both of our cars for a few years. So we were...
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, not an actual one.
I really, truly don't drive if I've had more than like a glass of wine, but I will drive if I've had a glass of wine. And I've thought many times that if I were to get pulled over and the cop were to smell alcohol, that I would simply say, I've had one glass of wine, go ahead and breathalyze me, which is probably the dumbest thing you can do. Because, like, if it, you know, doesn't operate correctly and whatever. But I think about that. Like, oh, if I got pulled over right now, I would try to just be so incredibly cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I do too.
Probably wouldn't work.
I don't really drink much. So when I do and I have to drive somewhere, I've got to be way under the limit because I drink so little. But I just always think, man, how horrible would it be if I got pulled over and got a DUI, being the person who never drinks, then, oh, Wiggins got a DUI.
Mm-hmm.
What a reputation killer.
Yeah, then do it.
I don't know. He got busted at a party once.
Mm-hmm.
We're learning about
it. But I
hadn't
drank anything.
Anyway, that's how you evade the police. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, yeah, we all know what we're saying.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, DGS. So there's a little bit of confusion about remaining tickets for DGS 5. They're somewhere between none and 20.
Okay.
So I got no control. All you can do is go to 971talk.com/DGS live and see what's there and pick them up and there you go.
It's because of all your wannabe friends asking you for tickets.
Yeah, tell me about it.
We don't know how many there are. So are you guys down with like all the crazy, I don't know what to call it. The story is that the Redskins have these weird recovery methods that they're using, and journalists have spotted these things and asked what they were. Apparently, they're using massage tables, which is not that big of a deal, zero gravity chairs, laser therapy tables, and cryotherapy chambers.
Oh, Dave and I have both done cryotherapy.
Have you? What is it?
Mm-hmm. I used to have a client at the Institute of Natural Health in the U Club Tower in Clayton. You go in and they lower temperatures to like 90 degrees Celsius. It basically sends your body into a state of shock, and it burns calories. It relaxes you, helps with blood circulation, all that kind of stuff. You do it for like 90 seconds or something.
Is it uncomfortable?
Oh, it's very cold. I always struggled. By the end of the treatment, I would be like, how much time do I have left? Because I'm a total wuss when it comes to the cold. But Dave, you didn't think it was that bad, right?
No, I love cold. Like, it was, I liked it. Now, I couldn't have gone much longer than they wanted me to go, but I didn't find it, like, painful.
Yeah, I found it a little painful. But like I said, I'm a wuss when it comes to the cold.
I did a spa like that accidentally once. We went on vacation in Quebec City. And Quebec City is a weird city because right outside of it, it's pretty much wilderness. It's not very populated outside the city. So we were driving just to kind of see some sights, and we saw a sign that said spa. So we just drove down this gravel road into the middle of the woods, and we came up to a parking lot that had very few cars in it and a big black box building, and it looked like nothing. So we're like, is this the spa? I don't know what this is. So we walk up. There's one door in the middle of this black box building. We open it. Door shuts behind us, and we are stuck in the middle of complete pitch black darkness. No idea what's going on. We're in the middle of French-speaking Canada. Nobody understands anything we're going to say. So we start looking around. We found the door we came in, pulling on it. Okay, it opened, but it would just go back. Where are we supposed to go? We find the other door finally after kind of like feeling the walls, and we open it up, and it is like paradise. All of a sudden, just the most beautiful like river running through in this spa. We're like, oh, I guess this is the spa. And it was one of those where you go into the cold for 20 to 30 seconds, and then you jump into a hot spa, and it's supposed to close your pores, open your pores, and it was pretty cool.
Cool.
Nice.
I at Roxana High School where I went, sports were everything. Football was especially big, and they had the Whirly. Are you familiar with this?
Is it like the hot tub?
Kind of. It's like a single person thing. It was just metal.
I believe there is one in the classic film Angels in the Outfield. Tony
classic.
Danza uses it.
Very much like that. So I'm in ninth grade, bottom of the barrel. Not even a starter on the ninth grade team, and I just wanted to take a Whirly so bad. And
I know
so,
the story.
So it's practice, and I faked an injury, like, oh, my ankle. And
better use the Whirly.
Yeah, and the coach is like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I twisted my ankle. And he's like, can you keep going? I'm like, it hurts pretty bad. And he's like, okay. I said, maybe I should take a Whirly. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. I'm like, well, I don't care. You're not even on the team. So I go fake hobbling in there, and no one's in there. And I take off all my clothes, and I get in the Whirly, and I'm just feeling like a man. And then in walks a senior, who, of course, looks like a 40-year-old man. And he's like, what the F is this? And suddenly, 110-pound Dave, I'm just like, pardon me, sir. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I hurt my ankle. And he'd like, just made me get out and run my naked, not hurt ass back to the locker. It's humiliating.
What about float?
Moral of that
rooms?
Story is, oh, is don't take an ill-gotten Whirly.
I've also done the float room.
We floated.
Mm-hmm.
Together?
I mean, separately.
Because I've been in one of those, and I thought that would be pretty weird.
It'd be pretty inappropriate.
We didn't even know each other then.
I mean, we were on the same show.
Yeah, but we weren't close.
Right. But we went to, what was your client? Float. It wasn't Float STL. It's fine. But we went at the same time, not in the same chamber. Once again, inappropriate. But it was cool. I didn't quite get the whole meditative experience, but I almost got there. So I saw why people like to do it. Didn't you get there at one point?
So the first time I did it, I had a real experience. Not like seeing God or anything, but I was definitely seeing things. And you know, the second time I did it, because you can turn on these really cool ambient lights, or you can be in total darkness. And I was in one, I think you were too, that's just a room. Some of them are like a clamshell. Mm-hmm. This was a room. And for the first time ever, I kind of panicked. I kind of got claustrophobic, and I couldn't find the door. Now, I knew the, I guess that's the nature of claustrophobia. I knew the door was there. I knew I wasn't going to be stuck in there for the rest of my life, but I got uncomfortable enough that the party was over, and I turned the light on and just kind of, like, I'm ready.
So you got close to experiencing something before you got there, though.
The first, I did it at a different place the first time. One downtown. And the guys were fans of the show, and, you know, I didn't know what to expect. And they, I think, oh gosh, I'll get this wrong, but you go for like 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in there, and I'm doing it, and I'm really leaning into it, and I'm seeing things, and I'm experiencing things, and then the light comes on. And I thought, oh man, it's a nice gesture. They'd stop me at like 30 minutes. They'd want to take it easy on me. But I really could have gone longer. So I get dried off, and I get out, and the guy's like, you went like 120 minutes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I just lost time.
What? So I've done it too, and I did a 60-minute, and I experienced nothing. I was just so bored that I wanted to quit before it was done.
Mm.
So what are you supposed to experience?
Remember when Pat McGonigal did it, and
yes,
he said he saw Charlie Brown?
Yes. I think McGonigal saw Charlie Brown a lot. What I experienced was very simple. So you're in, as you know, total blackness. There's no light. But I was experiencing as if I were drifting down a little river going under bridges, like just bridges of really faint light. And it was just real, you know, just like, oh my gosh, this is happening. There are no voices or spirits, but there was definitely like, I mean, and I definitely lost time. I thought it was 30 minutes and it was like 120 minutes.
Knowing that you believe in certain spiritual things,
mm-hmm,
does that experience make you believe more in spiritual things or less because you think your mind was just playing tricks on you?
That's a good question. I don't want to dodge the question, but I truly don't feel like I'm anywhere nearly intelligent or informed enough to even give a good answer to that, because I feel like the brain, just your wet meat, is so impossibly complicated that I'm never going to understand it. And so to say, oh, it's not your brain, it's an angel, it just seems dumb. You know, I mean, if you're a person of faith, I feel like you can say that because you have a faith. But if you're not, how dumb of me to try to say whether it's just the serotonin or if it's an alien, who the hell knows? But I do think that, for example, when people take this drug where they all see the clockwork elves, that the theory is that they're always there. It doesn't create it. It just opens a door in your brain where you can now see them. Because look, we're all seeing them. That guy's wearing a red hat. I see him too. So I think that there are lots of things, drugs and meditation and dehydration, that open up things in your brain that allow that.
That almost seems like you are arguing for the spiritual aspect, because that you're saying it's always happening, and certain experiences like the float room maybe just opened you up to what's already happening. It's not your brain necessarily playing tricks on you.
It could be. I'm open to either one. Mm. That if somehow I became convinced of a spirit world, it doesn't shock my life. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I don't, unlike a lot of people who are atheists either about religion or anything paranormal, where they have to aggressively fight against it, I'm wide open. I would rather live in a world with Bigfoot and God. I would way rather all of it be true than not.
Speaking of paranormal, a little plug for our guest tomorrow. I think you're going to really enjoy her. I talked to her today after, mm-hmm, I talked to you a little bit. She, you know, she is dealing. She's got an NDE, a near death experience, dealing with suicide. She was suicidal, and she said most of the people she actually talks to are people who have dealt with suicide.
Interesting.
So it's like it's a little ministry for her. So I think you'll enjoy that.
Cool.
Cool, cool.
Tomorrow.
Paranormal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.